We're now approaching the last two or three weeks of our sermon series on Better Together. And our Spirit is leading me now for us to read two special texts from Apostle Paul. One is written in Romans and one in Philippians. So if you have your Bible with you, I invite us all to open our scripture first on Romans chapter 12. It's a very short passage as he begin to unpack what this mind of Christ looks like. And then we're going to be jumping in on Philippians chapter 12. Hear now the word of God on Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And moving on Philippians chapter 12, verses 1 to 5. If then there is any comfort in Christ, any consolation from love, any partnership in the Spirit, any tender affection and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or empty conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not on your own understanding, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Indeed, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. As many of you have been tuning in, both in person and online, we've been navigating the word of God and trying to understand what it means to reclaim the power of togetherness. And for the last couple of weeks, we have learned from the Bible that we are better together than we are apart. But there is something that we need to have as we continue on to be the church, both as a church and as individuals, and that is having the mind of Christ. The necessity of believers being of one mind, being of the same mind, is so important to Apostle Paul that he mentioned this just about in every chapter in his letter to the Philippians. So that's what we're going to be coming in today as we understand more what exactly having the mind of Christ looks like and how we are able to cultivate this mind of Christ. Let us pray. Holy God, as we join with your Spirit in discerning your word, we pray that our thoughts be centered on you. Remove anything that will distract us or hinder us from being receptive to the word of God. For it is in your name we pray. Amen. The mind is one, if not the most powerful part of our body. The mind is the control tower of our life. And whatever happens in here controls everything. He has the power either to paralyze or motivate us. It can bring us to despair, or it can propel us to a joyful life. They can center us to the truth and lead us, or we can go to the other way around, which is the path of destruction and deception. In a sense, where the mind goes, the person follows. This mind that we have is the battlefield in every person's life. And what goes in your mind affects every aspect of our lives. It affects your behaviors, your attitudes, the way you deal with others, the way we are the church, our relationship with our neighbors, everything. What we think about what it is here is what we are and what we do. I'm saying this because as we come into the Word of God this morning, Apostle Paul takes this very seriously because this is the battlefield that we are waging right now, the battle of the mind. So the question that we need to ask ourselves, what does it mean to have a mind of Christ? And how can we cultivate a mind of Christ? Well, you might say to the pastor, and you may scratch your head and say, I don't think that is possible to have the mind of Christ. How can we ever know how Jesus thinks and what his thoughts are? That might be the first thing that may come out again in our minds. Yet the Bible says that we are called to be imitators. Do you remember what the scripture says? We are called to be imitators of Christ. What that means is that we need to be molded and to be shaped and to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are to possess the very mind of Christ. This is what the Bible says. And we need to think and act and behave like Christ. Well, Apostle Paul gives us an instruction on how to do that. He first launched this in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that we must first renew our mind with the Spirit. He says here in verse 2 of chapter 12, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? By the renewal of your mind. That by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I want you to take a note on these two special words that is there on verse 2. One is conform and one is transform. The word conform here means to pattern after or to be shaped or be pressed into a mold. How many of you likes baking? Oh, okay. We got some folks that likes baking. And I'm sure when you're baking a cookie, you use a cookie cutter, right? Well, it's sort of like that description of how Paul described this in Greek version. When something is pressed into a mold, like a cookie cutter, it takes on the shape or look of whatever the mold is. In other words, when a person is conforming to the world, they are being pressed or shaped into the patterns or the ways of the world. So think about the challenges we face right now with social media and the influence of contemporary music or other things that somehow shape the mind, especially of the young generations today, and how they begin to adapt to that mold and to conform. By comparison, Apostle Paul used another Greek language here when he used the word transform, which means metamorpho. And this is where we got the word metamorphosis. You remember the butterfly? That's metamorphosis. This Greek word is actually a combination of two words, which means meta and morpho, which means changing after being with, and the morpho, which means changing in keeping with the inner reality. So when you combine that both two words, it means that it is an outward change that reflects the inner reality with an inward change that only God sees. As God works to transform us from the inside, it eventually will show up on the outside. And so why is transformation necessary? When you look at the second part of Romans chapter 12, verse 2, you will see the reason why this transformation is necessary. Listen again to what the Bible says. So that you may discern what is what? What is the will of God? This is amazing because in order for us to know the will of God, we got to have both the transformation from inside to the outside, so that we may be able to know what is the will of God. That is why this process is so important. And what you notice here in this text is the road to that transformation combines both the sacrificial giving of ourselves, which is mentioned in verse 1 of Romans 12, and the renewing of our minds, which is on verse 2, to get us to this place of knowing the will of God. In other words, you and I need to have this kind of humility on one hand, and at the same time, the renewing of the mind in order for us to know the will of God. The reason why we are not able to know the will of God is perhaps we're being blocked by our own ego, by our own pride, by our own self-centeredness, by our own me attitude. And there has to be a yielding, a complete surrender of our will to the will of God. That's why the next point that I believe the scripture is telling us here, in order for us to have the mind of Christ, is to release and surrender our mind to God. There's a book called Invisible War that Rick Warren mentioned. And in that book, it says that there is a violent battle waging on 24 hours a day in all of us. And this is the battle of the mind. Think about what's in your thoughts when you're on your way here. And think about what you're thinking right now as we begin to hear. Some of you may be thinking out there and not focusing on God's word. Some of us may already been battling in terms of our focus to hear what God wants to say to us. According to the book, it is a battle of the mind, and the battle is very vicious. It is intense. It's unrelenting. It is unfair because Satan never plays fair. And the reason why it's so intense is that your greatest asset is your mind. That's why there will be no real change happening in your life or in my life until we surrender our mind to God. And what does that mean, to surrender our mind to God? That means that God is the leader of the mind in every way possible, by dwelling on His word and growing an increasingly more intimate relationship with His presence. And I'm going to explain that more later. The Bible says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Your thoughts control your life. Every action you take is preceded by a thought. And because your thoughts control your life, it is extremely important to understand and evaluate how you think. And what you think, and what influences your thinking. So we must always surrender our mind to God. Because the moment we stop doing that, we begin to have an idle mind. And the enemy will come into our minds. And that's where we begin to gossip. That's where we begin to tell others about other people. That's where we begin to compare one over the other. All this negativity begins to come out if we don't surrender our minds to the mind of Christ. That is why, according to the Bible, the mind of Christ must be filled with humility and selflessness. According to Apostle Paul, the heart of the mind of Christ is really humility. He says this in Philippians chapter 2 from verses 5 to 11, when Paul here detailed Jesus' example of humility. He said, and I quote, Jesus was the very nature of God, who did not consider equality with God something to be used on his own advantage, but rather the Son of God became human He humbled himself to the lowest position, even death on the cross. Why do you think Paul inserted that? Why is it there's a connection there? There's a connection between the yielding of our mind to God and our humility. We cannot be able to have the mind of Christ if we keep on controlling our own mind. If we keep on leaning on our understanding, if we keep on focusing upon our me, our attitude, no matter how God wants to enter into your mind, you will be blocking that. So the mind must be filled with humility and selflessness. And also, we have to guard our minds from garbage. That's actually the word that was used in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 14, when the Bible says, a wise person is hungry for knowledge, while the fool feeds on trash. Think about the garbage things that we put in our minds every day. And I know I'm going to be hitting a lot of toes here. Music, social media, internet, things that really, they're not helpful. They're not of God. If we want to be healthy and successful in Christian life, we got to fix our minds on the right things. I think we need to put these words from Proverbs 15 and post it in our television or in refrigerator. And someone says, if you put garbage in your mind, you will get garbage out in your life. I think that holds true. The devil will do his best to invade and control our minds. And he employs a variety of strategies to do so, like tempting us, focusing on things that are of this world rather than of God. That is why Paul is very strong in his instruction that we must guard our minds from garbage. And in order for us to do that, the reverse of that is to feed our minds with the truth from the Bible. How many times are we opening up a scripture every day, church? You remember those days when our moms and dad and our grandparents, they brought Bibles with them when they go to church. And nowadays we have access to Bible using our cell phone. And still we're having a hard time finding the time to feed ourselves. Well, fill your mind with things that are of God. Not just fragments here and there. It's not enough to simply just set aside 10 or 15 minutes in the morning, and then we mark our checklist and say, we're done, we're off to our lives. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. When we immerse ourselves and feed our minds with the truth from the word of God, it expels darkness. It destroys those gossip and lies and deception and envy, and transform our thinking until our minds begin to resemble in the mind of Christ. It's a great habit. The more we begin to immerse ourselves in reading scripture every day, our minds begin to be renewed. And we will be able to recognize that there are thoughts that doesn't align with the word of God. Have you noticed that? Sometimes that kind of spiritual exercise becomes a filter. It helps you filter those that are not of the word of God. And you can throw them aside if it's not in alignment with the word of God, and replace it with the truth of God. So feed your mind with the truth from the Bible. And finally, spend intentional time in the presence of God. As I look back on my life, I know that there's time in my life that I was so busy doing things. But you know what? We got to be busy being rather than busy doing. Amen? Because at the end of the day, our intentionality in knowing Jesus is the most important thing. Because having the mind of Christ, that does not come naturally. In fact, you have to do this every day and say to yourselves, Lord, help me to have the mind of Christ. Help me remove all the garbage, the things that may prevent me from focusing on you. For the Bible says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce what? Will bear more fruits. If we abide ourselves and connected ourselves to the main vine, the Spirit will fill our well. The Holy Spirit will renew our minds, and we will be staying deeply and vitally connected with God. God will change our thinking. God will change how we think, what we think, and what influences our thinking until such time that we will be renewing our minds into the mind of Christ. Friends, we are still a work in progress. As we come to the table, let me ask this question. What is the condition of your mind today? What does it need renewing? What is it that you need to dismantle or give up so that your mind will be filled with humility and selflessness? Are we guarding our minds from garbage? Are we feeding our minds with the truth from the Word of God? Are we spending more time intentionally in the presence of Christ? I hope and I pray that you will join with me in praying this kind of prayer as we prepare ourselves to come to the Lord's table. Let us pray. Lord, make me holy. Purify my hearts and my mind. Cleanse my thoughts and take out any garbage that is ungodly or displeasing to you. Feed my mind with the truth, and may I always spend time in your presence. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.